So, yes, it is Father's Day. You know, some churches don't acknowledge Father's Day. They just carry on with whatever series or programs they have. But I think it's nice to stop and acknowledge Father's Day. Not all of us are fathers. Not all of us are fathers who wanted to be fathers. Not all of us wanted to be fathers. Not all of us can be fathers, but some of us are. And so I think it's great on Father's Day to honour our fathers as we honour our Heavenly Father. And as I've been thinking about Father's Day, I wanted to reflect on God as our Heavenly Father. And the passage that I have to read is from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 18. So a longish passage, but I'll read the whole passage from John chapter 5, 1 to 18. I'm reading from the New International Version. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. That's not like the shopping centre colonnades, it's a different one. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralysed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And the tradition there is that an angel would stir the water and people would jump into the water and be healed. This poor chap didn't have anyone who would help him to get into the water to be healed. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away from the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I, too, am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. No one else was calling God Father at that time. So it was very scandalous for them, for Jesus to call God Father, because it meant that Jesus was equating himself with God. The Jewish people would say that Abraham was their father because Abraham was their ancestor. But to say that God is your father is to say that you are personally related to God, which means that you are like God. We Christians believe that we are part of God's family, but to the Jews, to have God as your father, to equate what they saw Jesus as a human being, a mere man, with God, got them so angry that not only they wanted to kill him for commanding someone to work on the Sabbath by picking up his mat, now he was blaspheming. God's people at that time revered God. And we sometimes talk about how in the church today we must revere God and also love God. And the two are related. Sometimes we don't revere God enough in the church these days. The Jewish people revered God in a great way. They said, "You must remember how great God is in comparison to us as people. God is in heaven and you are on earth. so let your words be few, they said. That's from Ecclesiastes 5:2. And yes, we must revere God because God is so great and mighty and holy. We must respect God. And, you know, psychologists and relationship consultants say that fathers and husbands need respect. Yes, they need love, but a husband and a father primarily wants respect from his wife and his children. That's what the marriage people and psychologists say. And they say that wives and mothers mostly want to be loved. And, of course, they want respect as well. But love is the foremost emotion that they'd like. We also want to feel loved, and God wants to feel loved as well. God wants to know that we, his people, love him. He doesn't need our love. He exists as three in one. He exists as a relationship. He doesn't need us, but he still loves us, and he still wants us to show our love. Love and respect. Jesus became one of us so that he knows what it's like to be loved by God and to love God. And when the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 5, they said, how will we pray? Teach us to pray. Jesus said, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven. Not only that, Jesus doesn't just call God Father, he calls him Abba Father. This has nothing to do with a Swedish pop group from the 1970s, by the way, when I say Abba, Father. Do you remember Abba? Abba, Father is a term of endearment that a child gives to their father, and it has no English equivalent, so they don't even bother to translate it. It's a term that the closest equivalence that we have in English is Daddy. I came home, I was away for three days this week on a pastor's retreat. And I came home on Wednesday evening and I wasn't sure what would happen because sometimes I just walk in the door and Max and Charlotte are playing games and I just sort of can come in unnoticed. But I came home and they went, Daddy! And I thought, what's the next question? What have you got for me? But no, they just wanted to, this is the way I interpret it, they just wanted to see me. They were happy to see me. I'd been away for two nights. But so Abba is a bit like that, but it's more. It's a term of respect and endearment and intimacy that we don't have an equivalent in English. And even though it's like a childish term, it's not just for children. As an adult, you would say the same thing to your father. You would say Abba Father in Aramaic or Hebrew, and even Arabic, because Arabic is a Medic language, so it's very similar to Aramaic and Hebrew. In fact, I used to have some neighbours when I lived at Al-Halloran Hill who were from Iraq, and so they spoke Arabic. There's three generations all living in the same house, and the adult children, I would hear them talking to their father, and they would address him as Baba, which is the Arabic form of Abba, to say, Dad, I love you and I respect you and I'm very fond of you. We don't often do that to our own fathers, do we, as adults? But so there's a great lesson there. Because Jesus says, that's how Jesus spoke to his father, Abba Father. The only record of Jesus calling God Abba Father in the New Testament is Mark 14:36, and I alluded to this earlier in communion. Abba Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Can you imagine what that's like? Jesus is praying over this rock, and he knows he's got to go to the cross. He knows he's got to pay the price for the sins of all humanity, so that those who believe in him can have eternal life. But the human aspect of him doesn't want to go through this. He's about to take on the sins of the world. And he's saying, Dad, can you help? Is there any other way? Is there any other way you can rescue humanity? And can you imagine God as Father? He's asked his Son to do this, and the Son has said, yes, I'll do this. But can you imagine God as Father about to see his Son go through an equivalent of an eternity separated from God for every person who ever lived? You feel the depth of their intimacy, don't you? The tragedy it must have been for Jesus to have to die. How great it is that the glory that he gave to God and the glory that Jesus received far outweighs the pain that he had to suffer and did it for us. There's three instances in the New Testament of Abba Father. The second one is Paul talks about the Holy Spirit calls God Abba Father. This is from Galatians 4:6. Paul says, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. And Paul encourages us to call God Abba Father as well. I don't say that in my prayers, I've just noticed. And if you do, well, good for you. And I think I'm going to start saying Abba Father in my prayers more. Paul says, this is in Romans 8:15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. Most of us have an earthly father or father figure. God is our spiritual and eternal Abba Father for all time, someone we love, respect, and admire. If God is our Father, Jesus is our brother. As we heard last week from when Alan put up the video, the examples of people praying, and one of them saying, Jesus, my brother from a virgin mother. Jesus is our brother. If God is our Father, and he's our brother through adoption, because God has adopted us, as Paul says there. You know, adoption is very rare in our society these days, isn't it? When I was at school, and when some of us were at school, it wasn't uncommon for people to have been adopted. And I know your stories, I know some of us are adopted. For some reason, our birth mother or father couldn't raise us, and so someone else raised us, and we call them mum or dad. But adoption is rare these days because there are support systems in our society that if you find yourself struggling financially, there are supports where you can still raise your own children and not have to give them up because of your financial situation or your family situation. The only time in our society that I've seen in recent years is when a child has to be removed from their family for their own safety. And Catherine and I used to work with those children who'd been removed and were under the guardianship of the minister. And we used to help put a network of support around those young people. One young man said to me, he said, I have a father, but he's not my dad. I'm here because of him. He fathered me, but he hasn't been a dad to me. Yeah, that's very tragic. Another young man said that he was fostered, and he was fostered to a loving family, and he wanted them to be his forever family. But that family had their own biological children. And he said that they were always treated somehow different to him. So he knew that even though they said one thing, they acted in a different way. The other children always seemed to be favoured. And so he didn't end up lasting with that family. But God has adopted us into his family to be full brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. He doesn't act differently to us to what he acts to his own son. He loves us in the same way. There is no difference. When Jesus sees, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. He sees you with a son or daughter in the same way. How wonderful. How wonderful. We usually create God as Father in the image of our own father or father figure, for better or for worse. And I do believe that our earthly fathers do the best they can, for better or for worse. But no one is perfect. Only God is perfect. Even the best earthly father or mother will let their children down at some stage. But God will never let us down. Sometimes as a father, I wonder if I'm being too strict and exasperating my children. And sometimes I feel like I'm being too lenient and spoiling them. Thank God that God is not like that. That God knows exactly what we need. He will not be too harsh on us and cause us to ruin. As Jesus said, which one of us, if our son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? We won't do that. How much more will God give us the good things that we need? Similarly, our Proverbs 3 talks about how a father disciplines the son that he loves. God will not allow us to be spoiled. But we still need to ask God to be our father, to ask to be adopted. God calls us, each one of us. God calls every person that was ever born, calls us all into a relationship with him. But we have to accept. We have to ask for God to be our father. I went to a LifeWell conference a few weeks ago, and there was a woman there called Jo Saxon who was speaking. And I thought it was wonderful, because I became a Christian in a church that said that, one, women couldn't preach, and two, they said that Africans, Americans had been treated poorly because they're related to Noah's son, Ham. So they were somehow destined to be treated as slaves, which is abhorrent. It's absolutely disgusting. But there are people in churches that say that. So to see an African woman preach just showed me how everyone is equal in the kingdom of God. But what Jo said, she shared some of her story. She said that she was from Nigerian descent, but she was raised in London. But when she was very young, her father left the family and went back to Nigeria. So she grew up with this, this absence of a father. And one day when she was like a teenager, she went to church and she heard them talking about God as their father. And she suddenly had this desire for a father. And she said, she started shouting in the middle of the service, "I want to have a daddy." And can you imagine if that happened here? What would we react? I'd like to think we would get around that person and pray for them and support them. She said, but this is England, she's saying. And she said, they have this thing called the stiff upper lip, where you don't show your emotions. I don't know. I've never been to England. I don't know. So she was expressing this desire to have a daddy in the middle of a church service. And she said what they did is the worship people just cranked the music up louder to try and drown her out. And then the worship leader said, let's all be thankful for what God. And it was like a shouting match, because Jo said she just kept saying, "I want a daddy." And they somehow gently escorted her out of the auditorium and took her out to a room to chat with her. And she said she just kept saying, "I want to have a daddy. I want a daddy." And so that day she accepted God as her heavenly father, the perfect father, and Jesus as her brother. And she said that at that time, when she accepted God as her father, she also accepted her birth father. She forgave him for abandoning the family to grow up in England while he was in Nigeria. And she made contact with him and said, I forgive you. I forgive you, Dad. I love you. I know you weren't there for me, but I forgive you." And then he was unwell, and she sent some money to him for his medical bills. And she just kept up this relationship of contact with him. And she would take this opportunity to say, "Look, Dad, I know that you're living, you don't believe in Jesus the same way that I do. But it's because of Jesus that I wanted to make contact with you and ask you to forgive, ask you to tell you that I forgive you. And one day he phoned up and he said, I'm really sick and I'm not going to get any better. And thank you for making contact with me. And I want to know your Jesus in the same way that you do. And so over the phone, she said, well, Dad, you can give your life to Jesus right now and you can receive the free gift of salvation. And so he confessed everything that he knew was wrong in his life. He asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And he thanked God for a new relationship. And she said that was the last time that they ever spoke because he passed away that night. What a beautiful story. We don't all get to have a story like that. But it's a wonderful story about how God, as Father to Joe, not only reconciled her to her earthly father, but he was reconciled to God as well. And they were all able to call out Abba Father. A great story of the transformation power and love of God. John, 1 John 3:1, John says, see what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. How good it is that God sees us the same way he sees his Son. So thank God that we have a Father in heaven who not only loves us and provides for us, but gives us an example to follow. God as Father is loving, he is long-suffering, he is merciful, he doesn't give us the consequences our actions deserve. He is graceful, he rewards us with love and daily bread, even though we don't deserve it. Being a parent and a father is tricky at times, and I don't think I could have done it without God as my Father. And as I said before, as I believe that every father, every parent does the best that they can, and they should be acknowledged for that. And I've asked permission from Charlotte to share this story. She said, I'll say it the way I remember it. She said, my friends at school say that, Charlotte, you have the perfect family. They obviously don't know what happens when we're all at home. But she said, what? She said, you're all there for each other and you all love one another. Is that what they said, Charlotte? You're there for one another. So they see something in us, despite our human frailty, despite how imperfectly we do family. Somehow, Charlotte's school friends see that and they see something in that. And I can only attribute that to God, that they somehow see the love of Christ that we reflect because we love Christ, and that compels us to love one another and do what's best for us. So thank God that as fathers, as mothers, as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, we don't have to go through this alone. But God hems us in. He goes before us and he backs us up from behind, because we can never do it as well without God's help. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for our earthly fathers here on Father's Day. And thank you for our mothers as well. But thank you for fathers. Thank you that you are our perfect Heavenly Father. You are Abba Father. You are the one who we love and respect and admire and cherish. And thank you that Jesus is our brother. We are co-heirs with Christ. Everything that he has, we have access to as well. And one day we will all be together for all of eternity in one great heavenly family in the kingdom of God. And Lord, help us to be that family here on earth. Help us here as the family of God at Hallett Cove Baptist Church. Help us to show love for one another. Help us to be fathers and mothers in faith to those who we might like to mentor or be an example to. Help us to realize that people are watching what we do. People see what we do. People see how we act. So help us to be a godly example of mothers and fathers, both with our families and as spiritual mothers and fathers. Lord, we can't do this without you. Thank you for all you've done in us. And I pray that your Spirit will continue to lead us and guide us to do this in the most imperfect way that we can do as, or the imperfect way we do as people. And Lord, thank you for your example. You will never leave us or forsake us. You are faithful and you are great. And for that, we thank you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.